The lessons that we're going to be discussing have been pretty well assigned. Changes that I've seen in 70 years of preaching is this lesson. And then in the next session, some lessons that I'm supposed to have learned in that period of time. And in the final lesson this evening, it will be some things that do not change in the midst of a changing world, unchanging things in a changing world. So maybe we'll have a few things that will be of some interest to all of us. We know, of course, that we live in a changing world. Things are just constantly changing. You know, the old cliche, life changes everything, is true up to a point. We're going to show tonight that it's not true altogether. But certainly, it affects us all. We all have seen changes, and some of you folks, especially older folks, you've seen some of the changes that I've seen and that my wife has seen. And so I'm not going to be telling you a lot of things that are new in that respect. Perhaps those who are younger might, hear about some changes that they didn't realize or know about. But there's been an awful lot of changes that are very, very important, and things that have affected all of us in many different ways. Life is constantly changing, and we need to be both flexible and rigid when it comes to those changes. We need to be flexible when it comes to changes that are good and make sure that we can adjust to those changes, but we need to be rigid when it comes to changes that are not good and make sure that we do not change with reference to those things. So both good and bad changes, and be flexible and rigid. And of course, some changes come just easily and slowly and gradually, and it's more easy to get accustomed to those. But then there are other changes that come very rapidly, like a tornado that comes through a community. And when that happens, it's a very challenging thing. And it complicates life, and it's very difficult for us to adjust many times to those kinds of changes. But we're going to be talking about changes that affect us, both for the good and for the bad. I want to suggest, first of all, that there have been an awful lot of changes in everyday life. I want to share with you an article that I clipped some years ago, and so it's somewhat out of date, but it will give us an idea of the changes that have occurred in our lifetime, and especially in the last few years. It's entitled, "For Those Who Were Born Before 1945. That applies to me. I was born in 1931, and I suspect it applies to a number of you as well. But it highlights some of those changes that maybe we've gotten used to and don't realize that they've been made. If we were born before 1945, we were born before television, before penicillin, before polio shots, frozen foods, Xerox, contact lenses, Frisbees, and the pill. We were before credit cards, split atoms, laser beams, ballpoint pens, before pantyhose, dishwashers, clothes dryers, electric blankets, air conditioning, drip-dry clothing, and before man walked on the moon. We were before house husbands, gay rights, computer dating, dual careers, and computer marriages. We were before daycare centers, group therapy, and nursing homes. We never heard of FM radio, tape decks, electric typewriters, artificial hearts, word processors, yogurt, and the guys wearing earrings. For us, time sharing meant togetherness, not computers or condominiums. A chip meant a piece of wood. Hardware meant hardware, and software wasn't even a word. We were before pizzas and McDonald's and instant coffees. These were never heard of, or at that time. We hit the scene when there were 5 and 10 cent stores where you bought things for 5 and 10 cents. The corner drugstore sold ice cream cones for a nickel and a dime. For one nickel, you could ride a streetcar or make a phone call or buy a Pepsi or enough stamps to mail one letter and two postcards. You could buy a new Chevy coupe for $600, but who could afford one? And a pity, too, because gas was only 11 cents a gallon. Coke was a cold drink, and pot was something you cooked in. Rock music was a grandma's lullaby, and aides were helpers in the principal's office. Now, this was written probably 25 years ago. And you think of the changes that's occurred since that time. Cell phones, internet, you could just name any number of things that we have now that, you know, even when this article was written, that was not available to people. So there have been a lot of changes in everyday life. Of course, the population has changed. My understanding is that the population of the world, and certainly it would include America in that, has increased 400% in that period of time. 400%. Also, there have been tremendous numbers of inventions and various improvements. And of course, our lives have been made better in so many different ways because of these things. We know that to be true. And there's just simply more affluence today, more money around, especially in our nation, not necessarily in some parts of the world, but certainly in our nation, there's a great deal more money and affluence around. And certainly we are in an information explosion due to television and to the internet and to other various technical discoveries and inventions. So we're in this information explosion. There's so much information at our fingertips. And we know so much more than people could know, you know, 70 years ago. And there's potential in all of this, either for good or for bad. Many of the things that we've talked about are good, but also many of these things are used for bad as well. So it depends on how we use much of this, of these changes that we have seen. Of course, it almost goes without saying that life is more complicated now, especially for older folks. You know, older folks like me, I don't get much into internet. I use it occasionally when I have to. I don't get much into cell phones. I do have some, but I don't do much. And there's just a lot of things about life is very complicated now because of all of the changes that have been made. So that's a product of it. For the young people, that may not be too much of a problem, but for older folks, it becomes a problem. Well, I want us to talk about changes in America, because there have been many, many changes during the last 70 years in America that I have observed, and I know that this is true with you as well. We know in the first place, at least it seems to me, that we have a longer life expectancy. I think when I was born, I think the life expectancy was somewhere around maybe 60 years, but now it's somewhere around 80, from my understanding. We have better medicines, higher prices, mind you, but better medicines available to us, and that's a plus. But today we live in a time when there's so much more fear in not just in our country, but throughout the world, afraid of terrorism, afraid of nuclear war. And we hear a lot about that today, and it's a real threat and a real fear that we face, which we didn't face back 70 years ago. It seems to me that there's a lot less patriotism in America today than there was when I was a child. When I was a child, for example, people respected the flag. The flag was something that was not allowed to stay out at night. At night, the flag was brought in. In the morning, it was put back out again. And if there was a threat of rain, the flag was brought in. It was not allowed to stay out in a rainstorm. But today, it stays out 24 hours a day. It doesn't matter. I don't know if that's so important, but it does signal to me that there is less patriotism today. And I'll tell you, flag burning was not even heard of in those days. It would have been the greatest of insults to Americans to burn the American flag. In fact, I think it was maybe not until the Vietnam War, if I'm correct about that, that flag burning was even unheard of before that time. But now, it's seemingly a pretty common thing. And people, many people at least, don't seem to be very patriotic. Whenever our national anthem is played, whenever the flag is raised, people oftentimes won't respond to that in a favorable way. And so, just less patriotism today among many Americans. There's a change of attitude, a great change of attitude in America toward Christian principles. I'm sure you know that America was founded upon Christian principles. It was founded upon belief in God and belief in Christ and belief in the Bible. That was really the very basis upon which our founding fathers, established our nation. And now, there is very little respect for the Bible, for Christian principles. These things are even scoffed at. God has been kicked out of our nation, kicked out of the schools, and so has, any reference to Christianity and its principles. So America's changed, at least as a rule the whole country, has changed in attitude toward Christian principles. And there's certainly been a change in politics over this period of time. Politics has gotten more and more liberal all along and has gone further and further from the purpose of the founding fathers. That's just the way it is. And we know also that there is less respect for law and order today. More criminals, more jails crowded, so many things that much crime, so much more crime than there has been in the past. And division and violence in our country has increased. That's very apparent to us if you watch the news at all. There's just so much division in our country. Political division, but division in ideology, division in the way people feel about each other and act. It's and so much more violence, as we well know, shootings and all kinds of indications of violence in our country. We want to talk about the fact that there are more criminals today, more crime, more criminals. The jails are overcrowded, and now in many, many places, they're turning loose criminals that haven't served out their whole sentence because they need room for more criminals to come in and take their place. And those criminals that are released go go out and commit more crime, and so it's a vicious circle. And that's something that we have observed, and it's not a good thing. And there are a lot of changes in society that have taken place. Certainly, all of us recognize that there's been a fantastic or a tremendous change in morals in our country. If people who lived, who were alive 100 years ago, were suddenly to come alive in our society and look at the morals of our country, they would be absolutely so shocked that, they couldn't understand. It's been so drastic in change in morals. Been a change in attitude toward moral behavior. Maybe partly due to the fact that we have more money, that people have more money to spend, they have more time, they have more freedom. And all of this combined adds to the change of morals. There's been certainly a big increase in promiscuity, sexual immorality. Back in the 60s, as those of you who are older remember, there was this sexual revolution that took place, especially among young people. And this has contributed mightily to the change of attitudes because this same generation has grown older and now they're the ones who are in control of things. And that has certainly affected the morals of our nation. There's been a big increase in drug use. You heard on the news over and over again about the problems in America today and all of the drugs that, are being consumed and the harm that is being done by illegal drug use. The attitude toward homosexuality has drastically changed. When I was just a young man, homosexuality in many states was considered a crime, punishable by imprisonment. Of course, now, homosexuality is considered respectable by many people in our society. And not only that, but they have been able to change laws and to bring about laws that will permit them to marry and to adopt children. All of those things are changes that have taken place in the last few years. I believe that there has been a decrease in discipline in almost every area of life. Certainly, I think that in the homes of America, this is not necessarily apply to Christian homes, but in homes across America, it seems that the mentality that you shouldn't ever spank your child for anything has kind of taken hold, and so a lot of parents feel like that, you ought not ever to spank a child. I know there are other forms of discipline, but at the same time, this is one of the forms that the Bible not only endorses, but even speaks by way of command in disciplining children. But that in turn has led, I believe, to problems in other areas. Schools are having all kinds of problems with discipline today. They can't spank either. And that translates to increase in crime. There's less punishment of criminals and lesser time served for offenses. And so all of these things just simply make for difficulties in our society. I think the movies and TV, among other things, have contributed to that, but they also are showing by increased violence and more graphic scenes, they reflect the kind of morality that people have and that people want today, all of these things just show what kind of change in morals that have occurred in our society. There's changes in the home that have taken place. We know that we're living in a time when there's increasing home breakups, and we're living in a time whenever there's a drastic increase of couples living together without marriage. In fact, I think it's almost to the point where there are more of those that live together without marriage than those who live together with marriage. That's a sad commentary on our society. There's been an increase in illegitimate children and in more abortions as well. We know that we're living in a time when there's a different view in our society about the role of wives and husbands. And many times today, wives work out of their home and sometimes out of necessity. But at the same time, many times people do that because they just don't want to be home with the children or don't want the responsibilities that are there in their home. And so the women's liberation movement has certainly contributed to that kind of situation. And because of that, in some cases, in fact, maybe I can say in many cases, children are neglected and not given the proper training. That's not true in all, I understand. But in some cases, I believe it is true. There's been a reversal of roles. Oftentimes, husbands refuse to take the responsibility that they need to take in the home as the head of the home. They refuse that responsibility and turn it over to the wife. And so there's a reversal of roles that we see throughout our society today. This statement in the National Review, which was taken from an article by Dennis Prager in 2015, he makes this observation. He said, nearly half, 48%, of American children are born to a mother who is not married. Now think about that for a moment. 43% of American children live without a father in the home. You know, we forget about those kind of situations unless we're reminded of it. But that's the situation in our society today. This increase, you know, in immorality has certainly increased the hardships that come in broken homes. They fit together. God knew what He was doing when He gave His rules about marriage, divorce, and homes, because we see the results of refusing to accept God's plan. There's more focus today in our society on entertainment and sports. Now, I've never been a big fan of certain types of contact sports, but I enjoy watching a football game now and then. And I see nothing wrong with, you know, enjoying those kind of things. I think it's a good pastime. But it seems to me, at least, and maybe I'm just old fogey, as some people would say, but it seems to me that there's just been such an attachment to sports activities. People will travel hundreds of miles, spend thousands of dollars to attend a game. Maybe it's 100 degrees. They'll sit out in the open and watch a game, or maybe it's freezing rain and they still set out to watch it, but they won't attend a service of the Lord's church in a comfortable building or the service of a church anywhere. So there's been such a huge focus on such things as entertainment and sports activities in our day. I believe that we are becoming as a nation more and more de-civilized. Instead of going up, we're going down. And this is an observation that was made several years ago by William J. Bennett, who was then the Secretary of the U.S. Secretary of Education under the Reagan administration. And he says in an article that he wrote, he says, there is a coarseness, a callousness, a cynicism, a banality, and a vulgarity to our times. There are just too many signs of de-civilization. That is, civilization gone rotten. And I think he is exactly right about that. And I think that it's even worse now than it was back when he was serving in this capacity. So we're headed in the wrong direction as a society. Maybe, perhaps, America is running out in time. I'm sure that you probably have heard what the steps were in the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. Gibbons wrote a history about that. And he listed five reasons why Rome fell. Now, Rome lasted for several hundred years. It was a very powerful empire, but it fell, and here are the reasons. Number one, the undermining of the dignity and society of the home and sanctity of the home, which is the basis for human society. Number two, higher and higher taxes, the spending of public money for free bread and circuses for the populace. Number three, the mad craze for pleasure, sports becoming every year more exciting, more brutal, and more immoral. Number four, the building of great armaments when the real enemy was within the individual responsibility. And number five, the decay of religion, faith fading into mere form, losing touch with life, and losing power to guide the people. Does that sound familiar to you? I'm afraid that America may be headed in that direction. I pray that it's not. And I pray that there's enough good people, faithful Christian people, that God will spare our nation. But I know this, that if it keeps on going in the direction that it's going, I fear for America. There are changes in religion that I have observed during the 70 years of my preaching. First of all, there has been a declining interest in the Bible and in religion in general. When I started preaching, there was really, you know, now mind you, even then, there were a lot of people who were not interested in religion. But I think there were a lot more people then who were religiously inclined than there are today. There's less religious conviction today than there was 70 years ago. I know that to be true. And, you know, back then, you could get people to discuss the Bible and they would take a stand on what they believed and try to defend it. And you could get denominational preachers to debate. There were quite a number of debates that I've heard when I was young. You don't hear that anymore much. Oh, occasionally, very rarely, but occasionally there will be one. But back then, debates were common because people had conviction religiously. Even though what they believed may have been wrong, still they were willing to try to defend it. But that just doesn't seem to be the case today. People don't have much conviction when it comes to religious matters today. You can believe just about anything you want to believe, and you know, you're okay. And that's the general consensus of Americans as a whole. And it's the general consensus of the people in religious organizations, generally speaking, as well. We have observed the rise of community and mega churches, big time. You know, back when I started preaching, there were no mega churches that we would call mega churches in that day. There were some big denominational churches, but not Not like they are today, not like these mega churches are, and these community churches. You know, most of the denominations now, instead of putting on the sign, you know, what they are, they just say, this is some such and such community church, or they have some kind of a fancy name in there. You have no idea, you know, if they were this denomination or that denomination or some other denomination, because they've lost their distinction. And these mega churches have grown tremendously. Religion in general has declined. But these mega churches have been on the rise. And the reason for that is because they receive people, regardless of what they believe, regardless of what they teach, regardless of how they live, what their practice is, they receive them, and they fellowship them, and they supply what the people want. They provide secular education, they provide entertainment, they provide recreation, they provide food and drink, they provide counsel in financing, anything that people want, they can get at these mega churches. And therefore, people flock to them. Not that they're concerned so much about their social life or their religious life, but here is a place that they can salve their conscience by being somewhat religious and yet doing exactly what they want to do. And so it's become a very popular thing today, the mega churches in our society. There's more concern over social welfare than over spiritual welfare throughout our nation. And that seems to be a very obvious thing. But the sad thing is that some brethren are headed in the same direction. Some brethren are following the very same pattern. Now, we're going to, in the next hour, talk about that more, but at any rate, it's just a warning to us. We are among the more conservative of religious people, but the same type of thing can happen to us that's happened to the rest of the religious world, because we're living in that environment, and there is the danger of it permeating into our thoughts, to our lives, and we becoming more and more and more like that. So we need to be careful and to beware lest that type of thing should happen to us as well. There has been a drastic change in the church over the past 70 years. I don't know how much time I've got left, but how much? Well, this is going to be quickly then. I'm going to have to point this out very quickly. Been some changes in the church over the past 70 years. In the 1940s and 50s, the church was the fastest growing church in America. Think about that. And that's according to statistical information. At that particular time, Bible knowledge among brethren and strong conviction was certainly something that was evident. People looked at members of the church in such a way as oftentimes would say, if you want to know something about the Bible, ask a Church of Christ member. But sadly, that's not necessarily true today. It's more difficult today to get Bible studies than it was back in the early 40s and 50s. It's hard because people have lost their interest in spiritual things. There are fewer conversions today than there were then. When I started preaching the first few years, in fact, from 1950 to 1956, I baptized 62 people. And there were 29 that had responded restorations. And it's not because I was some great speaker or anything of that kind. Not at all. That was results that preachers all around. Faithful preachers were getting everywhere. Conversions were common. But you know how few conversions we see today. And so it's a changed world in that regard. There are shorter gospel meetings now than there were then. When I started preaching, gospel meetings on an average went for 2 weeks. 2 weeks each meeting. And then in time it reduced down to a 10-day meeting. And so for a long time it went 10 days in meetings. And then it reduced down to 8 days meetings from Sunday to Sunday. And then it went just 7 day meetings from Sunday to, 6 day meetings from Sunday to Friday. And then it reduced down to Sunday through Wednesday meetings. And now oftentimes it's just a weekend meeting or a 1 day meeting. I mean, that's the progress in which we have kind of reduced our efforts at trying to spread the gospel of Christ. And some brethren have quit trying to convert people altogether because it's hard to do that. We get discouraged and we feel that what's the use of trying? But I tell you, we cannot afford to let that attitude continue with us. Preaching and teaching God's plan is, or God's word is God's plan for spreading the gospel, both publicly and privately. 1 Corinthians 1:21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And, we have to continue to preach even though people reject us. And God teaches us that. Just to refer to this, I won't read it, but back in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah had a vision that where God called him to preach the gospel, or not the gospel, to preach to the people of Israel and to warn them of their sins, that God asked the question, "Who will go?" And Isaiah responded, said, "Here am I, send me." And then the Lord told him what to do, to go preach to these people and try to convert them. And he said, "Well, how long, O Lord, do I do that?" And the Lord responded and he says, "Do it until there's no inhabitants in the houses and the land is utterly desolate." Even though he told them they won't listen to you, they won't hear you, they won't obey you, but do it anyway. And I think we have to do the same thing, publicly and privately. And you know, whenever the fishing gets tough and when fish won't bite, you know the best thing to do? Put out more fish lines. Get more people fishing. And that's what we have to do in the church today. Put out more fish lines. Get more individuals involved in trying to teach people, because there's going to be some that will respond. And the more we can get who are trying, the more response ultimately we will get. Let's not become discouraged and quit trying. Well, we could say other things. More effective methods in teaching today, that's for sure. And there's more worldliness in the church today. I've observed that. And those are just things that we recognize. And we will wait about getting involved in this next point because our time is gone now. We'll talk about some of these things in the next lesson.